become a pastor. How do we hear about these people? How is it that at the right time God sends someone and who speaks a word in season? And obviously there are some here today particularly to hear what Carl has to say. But how is that connection made? I wonder, Ken and Jan, if you'd like to come up here for a quick sec. Amen. I just want to honour these guys, both of you. That's wonderful. Ken is head of the president of the Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International, ably supported by his wife Jan. And I just want to honour them this morning because it's because of the connection and the relationship and all you guys do that Carl was able to make the connection here. Now, the wonderful thing is now that connection's made, we'll be able to have that three ways, as it were. But Ken has very humbly served faithfully for many years. I think I first met Ken at Avonhead at St. Christopher's about 9 years ago when I first started a ministry. There was an event on there. And what happened is that I was walking out of the room. I don't think I've ever told you this. And so God said to me, there's someone wearing a yellow badge. It's one of those badges that have... to call them, where they use some method where it adheres the colour to the badge. I've forgotten the method. Anyway, they're wearing that badge, and I need you to connect with this person because what it represents. I walked out of the building, saw a man, and it was a Full Gospel badge. And I thought, this is interesting, because I didn't know much of the work of FGBMI over some years. Long story short, we've been involved over summer at this event called E4, which you'll hear more about this year, but time and time and time again was emphasised gifting and purpose and the specific role that we have. I just want to pray for Ken and Jan as they continue their ministry of connecting people in the right places as they do in their very humble way. And one last note as a postscript is that I called Ken earlier in the week, said, I don't know really anything about Carl. We've got his notice. I just got some questions, and thinking Ken would say, well, look, he's booked in now. It's a bit late. He's coming. And Ken said, I hear you. Let's come along that day, the next day at 10 o'clock. And it was a perfect meeting. So Ken knows when, the Lord has very carefully a gifting on both of their hearts. Could I just pray for you guys? Is that cool? Father, we thank you for the ministry that you've called Ken and Jan to, and what the purpose of that. I'm sure they had no idea as they stepped into some years ago. I thank you for his enthusiasm, for his excitement, for his genuine desire to see people connected in a direct way then leads to further connections of people to come to know you, Lord. I pray for encouragement in some of the face of adversity where Ken must be thinking, oh, this is so obvious to me, or why can't this connection be made? Lord, keep him courageous, keep him encouraged, even in the midst of where things seem to be happening that maybe even not of you. We thank you, Lord, for his persistence. We thank you for his perseverance. We thank you for the heart you've put for that genuine enthusiasm that I heard on Wednesday morning and have heard so many other times. Bless them, Lord, and uphold them in all that you have for them. Amen. Bless you, guys. Not at all. Not at all. Cheers. I'd just like to welcome... Thanks, guys. I'd like to welcome Carl to come up here. And as you've heard the background and the connection, I won't steal Carl's thunder. He was well able to speak for himself. Nonetheless, we had a blessed time on Wednesday morning talking about what might be happening. Could I mention, Carl has some books at the back there telling more of his story. If you would like to get hold of one and you can't afford it, we'll sort that. So please don't let there be a barrier at all. We'd really rather those books get out there. So, as I say, they're on the available at the back for $20. If you'd like them but can't afford them, we'll sort that. Don't worry at all. It's most important that those books go where they need to go. Could I just pray for you, brother, before we start?
Yes, please.
Yep. Father, we thank you for Carl, for his story, for his journey, and for the way that you have led him. You lead us, Lord, in some surprising ways and journeys. And not a story that would be believed unless you had your sovereign hand. Father, continue to have your sovereign hand upon his words this morning, upon those that have been drawn here to hear what he has to say and what you are going to say through him. Lord, we honour him and we just thank you for his wife sitting often not alone so much but on her own for weeks at a time, as Carl's ministry often takes him as many weeks away from Melbourne as it does bringing him as he is at home. We thank you for her and for the way that you have led them to that place and as a base for all that he is doing. We honour and bless her commitment to the ministry that you've called him to. Thank you, Lord, for him, and we look forward to all that you have for this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you.
Good morning. I'm so excited to be here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Tony. He's a cool one. I'm supposed to be cool, but I watch him. He's too cool kind of thing, you know. This is what I see. He's so sophisticated and so good in his communication and so calm. I'm going to show you the opposite end of that. I'm a bit crazy. I'm a bit over the top. He's so cool and calm, but I'm not. But so the reason I say that is I need your permission to let me be myself this morning. That's the only, I'll try to be a bit more calmer. I'll try to tone it down, but it's not going to work. I'll tell you right now, please don't get offended at me or Tony or the leadership. I'm just myself and I'm comfortable that way. The first couple of years when I first became a Christian, got blessed by the Holy Spirit, one or two people told me, hey, you're attention-seeking syndrome. And I tried to calm down. It lasted maybe a couple of hours. So I'm noisy, but not to draw attention to myself, but just to make a connection. This is the way I made a connection with my wonderful brother, Rick. Just something drew me to him, and I started speaking to him, and just connected, just like that. So let me tell you a bit of my story for about 5 minutes so that we can relate. And then I have a word for you. And I believe it's of God, and God's going to bless you, and we're going to get blessed together. Thank you again, Pastor Tony, and wonderful. I didn't know your name. Sandra. Thank you, Sandra. Hallelujah. You see, the notice the difference in accent. She said Sandra. I said Sandra. So, okay, never mind. So I originate from Malaysia, and that's a miracle. I was born in Malaysia, and my ancestors are from Punjab, where Varinda and Raj and German, sorry, yeah, come from. And so that's my ancestry. Kulwant, of course. Who can forget Kulwant? The cool one. Okay, that's different. My ancestors were born there, migrated to Malaysia, and my mom was pregnant with me in Adelaide, Australia. My dad was studying there as an engineer, but then my grandmother was sick in Malaysia, so she went all the way back. I was born in Malaysia, and within a very short time, 3 months, we came back to Australia. You see, I tell you this for a reason, because God has a plan for us. God has a plan for us. I know you know that scripture in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, German. Plans I have for you, Raj. This is God speaking in the Bible. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a great hope and a great future. And so, 3 months old, came back to Australia, and my dad finished his studies and all that. And then when I was about five, my dad had a choice, stay back in Australia or go back and serve the Malaysian government, because the Malaysian government had sponsored him as a student. He made the choice to go back, and me and my sister, who were in Australia, obviously, I was five and she was seven, so we went back there and I learned the culture. The culture of honor. We call everybody older than us uncle, and the ladies aunties. It became automatic. We learned the respect and the culture kind of thing, which I'm so glad happens in this church. And so I grew from between 5 and 21, that 16-year period, I was in Malaysia. Learned the language and learned how to eat the curries in a hurry. And just learned a lot of things. And then I applied to come to Monash University and La Trobe University, which is in Melbourne. And I got accepted to one of those places. And instead of going there, I ended up in UK. Ended up in Scotland. And I, you know, at that time, I was a non-Christian. I come out from a Sikh background. You know, the ones with the turban became a Hindu as well because my sister became a Hindu. And she said to me, all her prayers were being answered. Well, I wanted my prayers to be answered. I felt that vacuum. I felt that distant God kind of thing because in my culture, in my former religion, God is unknowable. He's infinite. He doesn't get involved with human life. And so I wanted my prayers to be answered. And so I became a Hindu, did that praying and fasting on the Tuesday. The rest of the week did my Punjabi, Sikh prayers. But no answers. So when I first got married to my wife, which is about 39 years ago, a beautiful Scottish girl, I met her in a very holy place. In a disco. Yeah, baby. Both of us were non-Christians. And I mean, that was a miracle, you know, not only meeting her, but going steady with her after a short time because the disco is loud. I was full of the spirit. Johnny was my best friend. Johnny Walker. You see, coming out from a non-Christian background, I had a very strong Malaysian accent. My wife has a very strong Scottish accent. Disco is really loud. I don't know how we communicated. I'll tell you how. Oh, come on, don't look so holy now. You know, somehow or other, within 3 months, we were going steady with each other, and a year and a half later, we got married. So this July, it'll be 39 years. And so I come out from an electronics background. I was studying electronics at university. She was doing Master of Arts in religion. She was looking for God. So she went to university to do a 3-year course, studying all the religions in the world. And she concluded, Christianity is right. But I don't know why. That's what she said. She did all the religions, 3 years. Christianity is right. There's something right about it. I know it's right, but I don't know why. She went to church, a traditional church in Scotland. Couldn't find the answer there. That's a long story. I think some bits are mentioned in my book kind of thing. But we had identical twins who both died 1 day old and 2 days old. She had just become a Christian while she was carrying the twins. She had just become a Christian. And so when the twins died 1 day old, 2 days old, I could see in her eyes some sort of courage, some sort of a power of peace that I never had. And so I admired that. But I was not a nice guy, you see. I said, where is your God now? Can you imagine somebody who just lost their twins, the husband who's supposed to be caring for her, and yet out of my mouth came so silly words. Where is your God now? You know, to cut a long story short, the twins died 1 day old and 2 days old. Yeah, and then I became a Christian. That's a long story which we haven't got time for, but I became a Christian, and my lecturer told me, he says, you need a relationship with God. I thought, I heard, you need to go to church. So I said, okay. He said, can I pray with you? It's called a sinner's prayer. Can I pray with you? I'm thinking, I'm not a sinner. I'm a generous guy. I buy everybody in the nightclub a pint. Come on now. Come on, we've got to relate, you know. And so he said, can I pray with you? I said, yes. I was not sincere. In my mind, I said, no, I don't want your prayer. Number one, I'm not a sinner. Number two, I pray myself. I don't need you to pray for me. And what's this going to church business? I don't understand that. I certainly don't understand what it means by having a relationship with God. But when he prayed for me, and by the way, I let him pray for me because he's my electronics lecturer who marks my papers. That's how genuine I was. But when he prayed for me, I felt three waves of energy go through me. I didn't know at that time that it's called the anointing of God or the presence of God. I didn't know it. I just felt it, and I felt really, really good. But then, like I told you, my friend Johnny, you know, I was out with him every day. Johnny Walker is a whiskey, by the way, just in case you didn't know. And so, you know, I was full of the Spirit every day. Oh, you don't like my jokes, I know. Anyway, so 15 months, I was drunk every day. Called myself a Christian, but I didn't live like one. I was the opposite end of a Christian. 15 months later, my wife is giving birth. As the baby comes out, it's a Saturday morning at 6 o'clock. No doctors were present. As the baby comes out, the cord goes around the baby's neck. The baby turns bluish. My scientific mind says 3 minutes, 4 minutes without oxygen, and this baby dies like the twins died 1.5 years back. Holding my wife's hand, nurses are running in and out. The alarm is ringing of the labor ward and the red light's flashing. I'm holding my wife's hand. They weren't able to put the epidural, the painkiller for her because she was too dilated. And so the baby comes out, the cord around the baby's neck, nurses running in and out, and I cry out to Jesus. I'm the world's biggest hypocrite. Please save this baby. I don't want this one to die like the other two died. And I don't want my wife to keep on. She was still having postnatal depression after 1.5 years of losing twins. And I felt that emptiness inside. You know, there's a philosopher called Blaise Pascal. He says, in every heart, there is a vacuum that nobody can fill except the presence of God. I certainly felt that vacuum. I tried to fill it with alcohol. I tried to fill it with sports and martial arts and everything else. Nothing filled that. And I was holding my wife's hand. That moment was like an eternity, holding my wife's hand. And these were the things I said. Suddenly, Jesus appears to me. It's not a dream. I was sober for a week before that because my wife was having phantom labor pains. And suddenly Jesus appears to me. What's your name? John. Between me and John, 10 feet away, 3 meters away. I see him. There's no bright lights. There's no lightning. Thank goodness. I like barbecue, but I don't like when he barbecues me. Just like that. 3 feet away, 10 feet away, 3 meters. Jesus stands there, and for the first time in my life, I believe he's the only way, the only truth, the only life. No one comes to the Father except through him. See, in Hinduism, there are 30 million gods. Which one do you follow? You know, and all the other religions. But when Jesus appeared to me, I knew he's the way, the truth, the life. No one, everybody says no one. No one comes to the Father except through him. I suddenly realized he's the maker of heaven and earth and everything under the earth. That if I didn't make my life right with this Jesus, I would never see him again. Beside Jesus, one on each side, were two girls standing that height, and I knew they were my twins. Please understand, my twins died 1.5 years before that, 1 day old, to be exact, 12 hours old, and the other one was 36 hours old, 2 days old. And now they're standing with Jesus, having grown up in heaven, and one on each side like this. Then Jesus speaks to me. You want to know what he said? Okay, only one said that. I'll come sit down beside you and tell you. He said something powerful. You'll have to buy the book. No, I'm going to tell you. I'm panicking. No doctors there. 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Nurses running in and out. I'm just full of guilt and shame and empty, feeling that emptiness that Blaise Pascal spoke about. In every heart, there's a vacuum that nothing can fill. My wife is screaming, still going through postnatal depression. She's too dilated. The cord is around this baby's neck. I can see this baby turning blue. And Jesus stands there and says the most incredible words, "Peace be with you." Huh? He said, "I am in control." Huh? Because no doctors there, no nurses running in and out. He said, "I am," present tense. I know you know that. He says, "I've always been in control," past tense, "always will be in control." As soon as he finished speaking, the baby came out safe without any medical interventions. I've spoken to doctors and nurses who are specialists. They say that's virtually impossible because this cord is so tight and they can't even cut it because they might hurt the baby. But when the cord's so tight, it's virtually impossible, virtually. But when Jesus spoke those words, that baby came out safe. Next day, I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And me and Johnny Walker got a divorce. Within 2 years, I came out of electronics. I was so tied in. I was a consultant. I was a lecturer. I was an engineer in electronics, specializing in process control, if anybody knows a bit of electronics, and working on the oil rigs. But my heart wasn't motivated by the things, you know, that important thing. You know that important thing? Oh, come on now. You know what I mean. You know, money wasn't my motivation anymore. Before that, I wanted to be the best engineer in Scotland, have the biggest house, have the biggest fridge full of beer. Come on. But my heart wasn't motivated by that anymore. I wanted to serve this Jesus who came to me at my point of need, so I became a youth worker. So that's why, you know, in a crowd, I always go towards the youth because I love the youth. I'm only young, man. Come on. It's just the skin's getting old, that's all. This is dye, D-Y-E. And so I became a youth worker, and over the process of time, youth pastor and assistant pastor, took 7 years. Elam Pentecostal Church in Scotland, in Aberdeen. Any Scottish blood here? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, wonderful. So one day God spoke to me, come to Australia. He said, 50% of your time is going to be outside, 50% within, and your dwelling place must be Melbourne. And so we came, one wife and two kids. Or was it two wives and one kid? No, Pastor Tony, I'm joking. So we came, and we've been there now nearly 22 years. And so when I became a senior pastor, I did 3 years of Bible college, did my theology there. And then one day before I graduated, I got a job as a senior pastor. That's another miracle that we haven't got time to speak about. So me and Elaine, my wife, we were senior pastors for 7 years. And then God told me, now's the time. Now go out into the nations. And so that's what I've been doing. I don't get paid by a church kind of thing. But, you know, people all over the world just give me millions. Millions. I rang up my wife one day quite a few years ago. "Honey, I've just been given $1 million. She said, "How much is that in Australian dollars?" I said, $102. But rupiah, Indonesian currency, man, it's a lot. And if I go to Vietnam, which I go to, that's 2 million. Anyway. So that's my introduction. So I'm so grateful to Ken and Jen, and thank you, Pastor Tony and Sandra, for honoring them, because these people, they work so hard and use their own money to arrange for pastors, like Tony said, in networking, helping people to come and release a fresh word. Yeah, okay. I haven't got time to tell you the prophecy that the Lord gave me for Timaru yesterday, but I'm kind of going to put it on Facebook or website or something like that, and you can catch that, because I've got to share this word with you in over here. So I'm going to speak from Acts chapter 3. Hallelujah. Everybody good? If you're good, say good. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Wonderful Jesus. Acts chapter 3, I think you're going to put it up there. Thank you so much. Now, Peter and John went up together. Everybody say together. Yes. Went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Have you got NIV? No, you don't? That's okay. Hallelujah. Let me read to you from my version, NIV. Nothing wrong with that version, but when it says ninth hour, I know you're so smart, you know about it, but many times I have to explain to other people, and so one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3:00 in the afternoon. That's the ninth hour. 7 a.m. is the first hour, and then you just count, right? So ninth hour is 3 p.m., 3 in the afternoon. So I was reading this. I've been reading this Bible for about 29 years, and I'm reading this passage. It happened a few months ago. Oh, by the way, I've read the Bible since then. Jack, don't worry, Jack. You know. And so I'm reading this, and God says, what's happening? Huh? Very simple, Lord. I thought maybe the Lord didn't know, and he's asking me. Okay, not funny. Lord, it's very simple. One day, one particular day, Peter and John going up towards the temple, it's 3:00 in the afternoon. God said, what's happening? One day, Peter and John going up to the temple, 3:00 in the afternoon. They're going up to pray. They go up together. God says, what's happening? I said, I give up. I don't know what's happening. So let me tell you the video that played in my mind. Is that okay? Okay. 51 days before this, approximately, give or take. 51 days before this, Jesus died on the cross. Like what we watched that video just now. Very approximately, 51 days before this. You know this, don't you? You know that Jesus died on the cross. For 3 days, he went to the lowest part. He went to hell, so to speak. Three days, he was in hell, the lowest part. 3 days later, he rose up. Satan tried to stop him. He snatched the keys from Satan, the keys of life. He snatched the keys because Satan couldn't hold him down. And he took the keys of Hades, hell, took the keys of death, took the keys of the grave, so to speak, because he rose up victorious. Thank you, Kawan. You know that, right? For the next 37 days, he walked, had fellowship with John. Had fellowship with Olivia. Mixed with all the people. People ate and drink with them. He encouraged them. So for 40 days, so to speak, 40 days since his death. And then on the 40th day or so, he said to his disciples, do not leave Jerusalem until you be empowered by the Most High. So he went up in a cloud. That's nice transport. I go by Qantas. Not Cloud Airlines. He went up, and the angels, as he went up, the angels said, there were two angels there. They said to the disciples, hey, why you look so worried? Why in despair? The same way he went up, he'll come down again. Do not leave Jerusalem. Just remember what Jesus said. For 10 days they waited. Can you tell me, especially the back row, because you look very intellectual. In that time of that 37 days, how many people seen Jesus? You see, the thing is this, we've read the Bible so quickly. This is my problem. I read the Bible like this, finish. I've done my spiritual duty for the day. Approximately 500 people plus seen Jesus. Cool, can you prove that? No problem. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, don't turn there, just write it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1-5. At least 500 plus the disciples, plus one or few other ladies, and there was 8 ladies that were always ministering to Jesus. So in my opinion, let's say, give me the grace, let's say it's 520 people, okay? Let's just say that. They waited in the upper room 10 days. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5 days left, 4, 3, 2, 1. They didn't know how long to wait. We know now, hindsight. Day zero, 50th day, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came when the windows were all shut like a loud, violent wind. Holy Spirit came and fires, tongues of fires came upon each head. How many people in the upper room? 120. Are you sure? Something's wrong somewhere. Any accountants here? Tony, I'm speaking to Tony. Something's wrong, Brother Tony. 520 people seen fellowship, ate with Jesus. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10 days later, 120 people. Uh-oh, you don't catch it. 520 people fellowship with Jesus. 10 days later, there's only 120 in the upper room. And these are the people who fellowship with Jesus. Something's wrong somewhere. If we do business that way, beep. If we do church that way, when I first read that, that's what the video God showed me, I was absolutely shocked. I said, what? And these are the ones who were with Jesus had fellowship. Something's wrong somewhere. If we can work out what went wrong, then we can teach. 120. And then when the Holy Spirit came on Peter and the other 120, Peter stood up and he preached. These are not drunk as you suppose, because when they got the Holy Spirit, they were... Okay, I'm acting too much. I'll try to calm down. Maybe not. Peter said, these are not drunk as you suppose. These are, as the prophecy goes in Joel, he says, these are filled with the Holy Spirit. So, and then when he preached that, got saved. That's a lot. Peter said, whew, what a ministry. 2 days later, another 5,000 get saved. So now we come to Acts chapter 3, okay? Because Peter stood up, preached day of Pentecost, and now it's maybe 51 days, maybe 52 days. It says one day. So we're on the same page now. One day, Peter and John went up to the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's fine. I understand that. Now, a man crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for food. Sorry, to beg from those going into the temple. Here's a couple more things. Can I just show you, instead of preaching, can I just show you what was happening? Every day. Everybody say every day? Every day. hundreds of times. X is probably one. I've got many favorites. And when I seen the video, what's the big deal? God says, what's happening? I says, I don't know really. I give up, you know, because I'm not as clever as you. He said, somebody is using their faithfulness to serve somebody else. That's powerful. Somebody is available, using their energy, using their vitality, using their strength to bring them, the crippled man from birth, to the point here. Using their strength, using their power, using their time. Now, I know it says now, meaning nearly 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I know that. But many people are not free during the day. And so there's a good chance that this guy was brought at 6 o'clock in the morning before the first prayer. Jews pray 5 times a day, 6 a.m., 9 a.m., 12 noon, 3 p.m., which is what this story is about, and again at 6 p.m. And that's why most of the Jews would stay within half a kilometer of the synagogue, because they would come for 5 to 7 minutes and pray and then go back to their work. They stay within the vicinity of the synagogue. And so now this guy's making himself available. Okay, even if it's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, somebody made himself available, and he had to be carried home again. And it's placed at the gate called Beautiful. We speak about one guy who is crippled. But actually what would happen is all the lame, the mute, and the others who are not supposed to be there, the leprous, would come and sit there begging for food. That's their legal permission to ask people as they're going into the temple for food. But they would come this side. Here's the paradox. Here's the opposite effect. This gate is called Beautiful, right? Right? Hello? But it's not. It's not, because the lame, the cripple, the blind, the deaf, they're all sitting there. They're all waiting there. I know we focus on one person, but let me tell you, this is what's happening. Wow, the splendor of the Lord, the beauty of... Inside that gate, it's beautiful. Across that line, everything's so nice. It speaks, reflects the glory of the Lord, the splendor of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord. But on... It's not. When he saw Peter and John going towards the temple, he asked for money. Watch this. He asked them for money because that's his need. Peter and John, verse 4, looked straight at him. Peter and John looked straight at him, as did John. Peter and John looked at him. Then Peter said, can I shout? Can I shout? I put the microphone away. Hey! Look at us. Why? I've read this a lot. Here's why. So you'll catch the drift. He's asking for money, his legal right to beg, but he's looking at everybody else, because Peter and John are taking too long to take their money out of the pocket, and the missed opportunity of other people passing by, just going by. So inside he's thinking, hurry up, Peter, hurry up, John. Because all these missed opportunities, that's why Peter and John say, hey, look at us. It's the focus, you see. And so the man looked at Peter and John, watch this, expecting to receive something from them. Check out verse 5 again. Can we put verse 5 on, please, bro? So the man gave them his full attention, expecting to receive something from them. I preach all over the world, and I'm a revivalist, and pray for healing and miracles and all that. God is the healer, not me. But a lot of people, where I pray for them, they're not expecting anything. Haven't got time to tell you some of the stories where God spoke back to me and told me why this and this is happening. But expecting to receive something from them. Friends, when we come into His presence, we come into His church, we come into a prayer meeting, we come into the youth thing, we've got to expect something. What's the rock about? You're going up there to pray? You guys are going to the rock or something this afternoon? Oh, I see. Okay. Comprende. Hallelujah. I understand. Okay. So we've got to expect, friends. We've got to expect. So Peter then stands up and he says this, the very famous words that you know. Silver or gold, I have none. But what I have got, I give you. Hold on. What has he got? What has he got? He's got the power of the Holy Spirit. Because a day or two before, the Holy Spirit came upon him like a fire. And the other 119 other, Holy Spirit came. So he stands up and now he says, silver or gold I have none. Nothing natural. But what I have, the power of Pentecost, a new power endued life. What I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Then Peter and John, watch this. John, would you come over here for a second? Hallelujah. Yeah. Sit down, bro. Yeah, I want you to raise up your legs. Okay. So I'm Peter, and this John is the other person. And so I'm going to pull you up. Don't put your legs down. Hold me up. Yeah. Yeah. And it's very hard to pull John up when he's not cooperating with me. You understand? You can put your legs down for a minute. It's very hard. So in the healing ministry that you and I are called to do, to be reconcilers, like Tony said, reconcile society and all the things, we've got to, number one, focus on the Lord. I've got the healing ministry, but I'm not the healer. Hello? And so we've got to say, hey, focus. Look at us. Look at the word. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Oh Lord, I cry out to you for help and you heal me. Psalm 30, verse 2. We've got to focus them on the word of God. We've got to focus them on Jesus, the one who died on the cross for us. Hey, focus on the Lord. Expect to receive something. And now cooperate with me. John, cooperate with me. When I pull you, you push with your feet. You push, you cooperate with me so that together we are working out the miracle. Can you say amen? Watch this now. Watch this. Good grip. Good grip. Good connection. Reconciling. Now when I pull, you push. Woo! Thank you, John. Bless you, man. And so the man went walking and leaping and praising the Lord. Come on, join me. Walking and leaping and praising the Lord. One more time. Walking and leaping and praising the Lord. Because now he steps from this side. Oh, walking. Ah, thank you. Like we did in communion. Thank you. It's all about you. Wow. The splendor of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord. I stand in awe of you. I know I sing like a frog. I know that. One day I was singing and these couple of frogs took out white flags. I surrender all. My football skills. And the Bible says this. Everybody looked and they were amazed at the wonder of God. Friends, you and I, we're so privileged. Rick, you are so privileged. After 20 years, God's called you back at the right time where this crazy kangaroo anointing has come from Australia just to speak to you and pray for you. You tell Pastor Tony what I told you afterwards, okay? Don't keep it hidden. Tell Tony and get a connection with Ken as well. He's brilliant with the guitar. I can only play my ribs. Friends, you're not here by mistake. Raj, German, you're not here by mistake. I don't know where Varinda has gone. Probably gone to make me a curry. Many of you know Jesus, but we are called to do this. Use our effort, use our time, use our energy, use our cars, use our friendship to bring people to a certain point, to bring people nearer the kingdom of God. We are all the links in the chain. Tony brings one... Tony does one step, I do one step, Kulwan do one step, Sandra do one step, until they come here. And then just John, Apostle John. Everybody say Apostle John. Apostle John there. He crosses, he helps a person cross over from the darkness to the light. From darkness to light, somebody crosses them over. It doesn't matter who, we're all partners together in the team called the Army of God. Okay, I'm finished. Give me 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Some of my friends have come in today, and maybe you don't know Jesus. You don't know this one who can heal. You don't know this one who can save. You don't know this one. And I want to give you an opportunity. So we're all going to pray this prayer together. Okay? Please join me if you want to. If you don't want to, I won't force you. But I encourage you. Just like me, who didn't know God, and somebody prayed with me. I wasn't sincere. But the grace and the love of God just drew me. Drew me. Step by step. Step by step. Ignored my mistakes. He didn't tell me, you're going to hell. I knew I was going to hell. You don't have to tell me. I was not a nice guy. That's why a book is called From Rogue to Revivalist. I was worse than a rogue. As I gave you the example just now. Rick, this is for you, bro. Bless you. What are you saying? Thank you. Ah! Because sometimes we get so used to just receiving, eh? It's just good to honor, right? But I love you, Rick. Hallelujah. So if you don't know this Jesus, like I got a couple of friends here, if you don't know this Jesus and you want to surrender to him, like the video, like the cross, the reconciling of us to God, I want you to just pray. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to. I just like to, okay? So I want you to pray this. Dear Lord Jesus, come on, everybody. Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me of all the wrong things that I've done. Today I admit that I have sinned. I believe you died on the cross to reconcile me, to connect me with God. You forgave me. And I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name, please guide me. Please help me. Please show me. I give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, if you didn't pray the prayer, but you want that same prayer, just say amen now. Okay? So, if you've done that prayer from your heart, it's not trying to trick you. I'm not changing your religion. I'm changing your relationship. Religion is something else. Religion is man trying to reach God. Relationship is God reaches by dying on this cross to forgive all our sins. If you enjoyed this chat, can you give a great hand to the Lord? Thank you so much.